Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, my name is Ann McNeil, and welcome to another episode of Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. We want to thank you for joining us with our co-hosts, Mr. Dan Calloway and Mr. Steve White, as we bring to you another episode of interviewing individuals, awesome individuals from our hometown, Riviera Beach. After reading the book Acres of Diamonds by Russell Conwell and realizing that I am now convinced from reading that book that we are all leaving our diamond mines in our own backyard when we travel around the world looking for larger diamonds, when in fact the diamonds that we seek are found within in our own hometown from wherever you come from. Therefore, we're calling this podcast Hashtag I Am Riviera Beach. And our vision and desire and goal is to shed a brighter light on the wonderful, smart, and talented individuals from our great city, Riviera Beach, Florida. And so today, our special guest, we'd like to share with you his story, and that is none other than the president and owner of All Site Construction, Mr. Ezra Sappho. Welcome to the show, Mr. Sappho. How are you today?
I'm doing good, Ann. Thank you for having me. I'm real honored to be able to talk to you today.
Absolutely. So we're going to introduce you, reintroduce you to Mr. Dan Calloway, and he's going to kick us off with the question.
Mr. Sappho, it's a pleasure to have you here. Since you're one of my sons, I mean, this is just, I'm busting the buttons off my shirt, sticking my little chest out, because I just think you're just a wonderful individual, and you've set a lot of examples that we want the young people to do, because you went off, got your little paper together, got your little life together through educating to go into your business. And so we want to get right into that. You tell us something about your life from ground up, from first grade right on where you are now. Would you do that for us?
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate the kind words, Mr. Calloway, and I see you as a mentor myself, so thank you for that. Sappho, I am a Sappho. Personally, I grew up in Federal Gardens on 13th Street, born and raised here in Riviera Beach. Went off to Military Trail Elementary, went to JFK Middle, and I graduated from Suncoast High in 1990. At that time, I would say that I was in a fork in the world road, like a lot of other young black men. I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I kind of goofed off for a little while and decided that I didn't want to go to jail or go to the grave before my time, so I decided to do something positive. And I started taking classes at Palm Beach State College, and that's where my life changed. I went off to FAM for a year, and I graduated at FAU, and that's when I decided that I'm going to revive and help out the family business. And that's when I started All Site Construction back in 2001.
So, that's beautiful. Well, now, what about Buddy? You the little buddy. And, of course,
yeah.
Your grandfather was a business person, paving. And was any of that on the horizon for you to get into where you are?
I would say, my granddaddy T.C. Sappho, he had a very successful paving company back in the 70s and 80s and before my time. I hear more stories from historians around town than I actually know, so that's kind of cool. They tell me about my granddaddy T.C. and how he influenced them in different ways. My father kind of inherited his efforts and kind of kept them going, and that's where I became a third generation paver. I started out from the beginning, and Unfortunately, I will tell you, like a lot of people, I didn't want to take over the family business. You know, it was hot, it was dirty. You know, it's ups and downs in the company, and I at that time I didn't want to do it. I wasn't really understanding of how the world works, so I had to go off and get my bunks in the road before I realized that coming back to Revere and taking the family business to another level was my calling.
Well, I think that most of the people who reared in Riviera Beach or anywhere, when they go off and get certified in their whatever field they want to go into, they don't usually come back home. Now, Allsite has been doing a lot of work in Palm Beach County, and especially in Riviera, over the years. Give us a outlook of what it is to be a homegrown person. And you have to go through a lot of bidding process and a lot of other things and a lot of people pulling on you from head to toe. Just give us a little of that.
Well, I just take it back from when I decided to get into the field. I started the business. When I first got my general contracting license, my aim was to just help the family business out in paving. Somewhere along the line, I wanted to do different kinds of things than what the family business is offering. So I kind of diversified into all-site construction, where I wanted to branch out and do vertical construction and bigger things, and more so for the government. My first government opportunity was here in Riviera Beach, where the purchasing agent back then was Mrs. I can't think of her name now. Miss Radford.
Yeah.
Help me out, Miss Calloway.
Very neat. Very neat.
She gave
Radford.
My first opportunity to do a small project here in Riviera Beach, and that's where I kind of learned. You know, I went into the person's office and I kind of asked her how do I do this? How do I do the paperwork? How do I, you know, make sure I'm successful at it? And she gave me some real good tidbits and some tips and kind of just told me, you know, Ezra, it starts out with making sure your paperwork's in order, making sure your license is in order, making sure you just walk the line the right way and read and pay attention to what you read. So in doing that, I was successful multiple times in Riviera, and decided to branch out locally to West Palm. And it kind of just went from there, Mr. Calloway. You know, I started doing additions, started doing residential home renovations for the county. It kind of morphed into doing commercial renovations. And I started just growing. I got bonded, had an opportunity to do some other bigger things, and that's my story. I started from the bottom in this division and kind of just wanted to walk the right walk. Currently, we are lucky to be a part of a couple of continuing contracts with Palm Beach County, with the school district of Palm Beach County, and some other local entities where we've been lucky enough to build the community center over there on 4th Street. We just renovated F Avenue Park. We're currently doing the manager's office up at City Hall, and we're just always honored and have a sense of pride whenever we're able to do something here in our own hometown. We put that extra care, that extra giving into just making sure that what we do is done with a sense of pride.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you about the Found Lake of the Marina, and I know your office got half of the contract. The other part is from the people from Georgia. that's still open, and I know a lot in the newspaper, and I'm up to date on that. But I need to, for you to explain to our listening audience about what I'm more impressed about is that you got those young people that you started with a group of people, I think it was four or five of you, to tutor those in different things in the construction world. Now, is that a dream of yours? Is that something you want those young people to know and give them a heads up that you didn't have?
Yeah. So I think more so than anybody else, someone like myself who's been blessed with the opportunity to come from some of the areas of Riviera Beach to give back. And there are many ways to give back. And I want to give back my experiences of how to reach your goals, because that's what it's all about. I think everyone does what they do for a reason. Either they're doing it to take care of their family, or to fix up their car, or to go on the trips they want. They do what they do in order to reach their goals. So there are many ways to do that. And I wanted to give some of the young guys that I run into from the ages of, let's say, 17 to 28 options. Because at that age is where a lot of people kind of give up on them, young black men. And I'm speaking more so for young black men. Kind of give up. Kind of give up on them and say, hey, this guy is going down the wrong path. You know, he's not in school no more. You know, he has a felony. He's, you know, his life is already done. So I disagree with that. I want to express that there are many ways to reach your goals. And one is in the trades. You know, college is not for everyone. Everyone is not a rapper. Everyone is not a football player. And that does not mean you cannot reach your goals, no matter what those goals are. You know, you can do it in the trades. You know, you can become the owner of a plumbing company. You can become the owner of a drywall company. And you can be the owner of a painting company and hire people that are experts at it. And you can make hundreds of thousands of dollars being the owners of companies. And I partnered up with some leaders in the community like Dr. Botel and the training center over there, the old West North Tech over there, and with Jimmy Major, and
yeah,
you know, we kind of devised some options to help these guys start their business from ground up, learning the different phases, and that's what we did. So that's what we're doing now. We're trying to keep that effort going.
Well, I need to interject something in here. About 4 or 5 years ago, you sat at some restaurant telling me some of the ideas, picking my brains and wanted my opinion. And I was moved by when you brought up about in your field of work that if a person went into painting, and you mentioned it just a while ago, that's a job there because 75% of any kind of county or community, one day or another, they're going to have that kind of service. And then you brought up about the other trades that you can go and maybe you put a carpet company that black people, let's stay on that black, need to stop thinking they can't own their own business. Now, go back over that a little more and tell our listening audience why that is important.
Well, I'm sure Ann understands it too. Entrepreneur is the best way. You might have to go apprenticeship or even work for someone for a few years, but ultimately the intent to reach your goals is to have ownership. And if these young people or anybody for that matter can kind of just mentally grasp the part of ownership, there are a lot of opportunities out there. And everyone doesn't have to be the top dog in any kind of a deal. I mean, there are many opportunities for painters, for carpet guys. As the owner, you can hire a good team, and you can put in a good proposal, and there's lots of opportunities out here.
Well, on they used to have career days. Steve, I need to ask you that. Do they still have career days on the school campus? Not so much in the pandemic, but before the pandemic set in?
Yeah, before the pandemic set in, I know they were doing it at some of the schools. Washington Elementary, for one, is the school that I participated in with a lot of those career days. And it is very, very valuable at an elementary age, because you're just showing the youth opportunities that are out there for them, and they're able to see people that look like them, people that they can question, that they can talk to, and realize that these opportunities exist. So like you said, the virus, the pandemic has changed everything, but hopefully as we move past this, it can be picked up again. And the schools that aren't doing it should do it, because it is a valuable tool. Like I said, I participated in that quite often over the years, and it's a valuable tool.
Well, Arizona, the reason why I brought that back up, because for years I was one of the people that they asked about physical ed or recreation or professional sports, because everybody just look at me, just think that that's the only thing I know. And I know that we can't run over there and put those programs together, but I need you to explain, have you been doing that before the pandemic? Are you for doing that? Because I thought that you and I talked about that. You were going to have a team of different people for different types of careers when we go to, like, John F. Kennedy Junior High School, middle school, because we got 802 students there. And I would say that 72 to 78% of those kids right there will not go off to a major college or something like that. So we need to make sure they can go into other, get trained to go and get another job. Now, give me your perspective of that. We need to put a little more emphasis on that when the pandemic lifts, or what?
Yep, you're absolutely right. Mr. Calloway, what you're speaking of is something I had mentioned to you that I was assembling before COVID, was an initiative called BOSS, Business Owners Sharing Success. I had assembled a group of black business owners here in Riviera Beach that I know to actually assemble 4 to 5 young men who have an interest in starting their own business. And we're going to, for a year, meet with them, kind of expose them to some things that would spark their interest into wanting to have their own business. Because they see what they see, and they want what they see from TV. They see these rappers, they see the football players, and they think that's the only way to get it. If they actually can see how successful some local business owners are and live their life, they would be inspired to wanting to do something similar. So we're going to take them, mentor them, meet with them, and actually the ones that show that they actually want to start their business, we're going to set them up in their own business at the end of our program. So we're thinking the top three, if they aspire to have a lawn care or a painting company or something of that in the trade, we would help set them up, buy them a truck, help them get started with some equipment, and actually give them the tools that they need how to be and stay in business, from making sure they're licensed, insured, make sure they have a bank account, make sure they can actually get a check, can get a check from somebody and can take it to the bank and pay their employees. I mean, you'll be surprised how important that is. And that's something that we really felt would be a good benefit to the community and would take off.
Well, I think it's just tremendous to do that. That's what the Jewish community been doing. When they put their own in the business. They can't fail because everybody rally around them and bring their service there. That is one of the most important things that I've heard in a long time, that you keep that up. Now, Steve, is there anything you want to ask right now?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So how you doing, Ezra?
I'm just fine, Steve. How you doing?
I'm good, brother. So, yeah, first of all, I do have a question for you, but I want to make a quick comment because I want to pick up on something you said, which I think should be reiterated, and that is that, as you were saying, a lot of young men in particular, when they're 17, 18, 16 years old, we have a tendency to give up on them based on how their life has gone up to that point. You know, that's one of the reasons why, you know, with my mentoring program, we do 12 to 18-year-olds, and I've always said the same thing. You know, you can't give up on them at 15, 16, 17, 18 years old. Their lives can still be turned around. And even with the prison reentry program that I have, and I've seen men who've been incarcerated for 15, 20 years, 25 years come out and turn their lives around. So you can never give up on a person. So I just want to reiterate that, and I appreciate you having that insight as well. But what I would like for you to comment on, and I ask some of the other people that have been guests on the show, and so as a business person, there are attributes, those qualifications or those characteristics that you can't see. You know, you can have a degree in business or a degree in education or whatever the case may be, but those intangible and attributes that's necessary to be successful, that's what I'd like for you to talk about. You know, I mean, for instance, we know that if you're going to be successful, particularly as an entrepreneur, you've got to be willing to, you can't give up. You know, you've got to be that kind of person that's going to be persistent. So just if you could talk about some of those attributes that you find that you have utilized or called on in order for you to be successful in business.
Yep. I will tell you, Steve, coming from that place, the greatest lesson that I learned is that failure itself is the greatest learning tool. It's a lesson learned. And without failure, you won't know what it feels like to lose, and you won't know how to correct yourself. And I'll tell you that you don't fail. You actually don't fail until you give up. So one of the attributes of being and staying in business, as a matter of fact, this is our 20-year anniversary this year. One thing you can't give up. Times are going to be bad. Times are going to be good. And a lot of times they're going to be a lot good, a lot less good than they are bad in business. And as a business owner, you got to understand that. You have to persevere. You got to be creative. You know, you have to make some hard decisions, but you have to stay in business. And that's what'll get you to those good times. Most successful people, they might fail 5 times before you even see them succeed on that first time. So that's an important attribute. Next thing is to do what you say you're going to do. If you're going to commit, make sure you do it by any means necessary. You know, if a client gives you an opportunity, you know, you just can't accept that you can't make it. You got to do what you have to do. You got to stay up to 3 o'clock to work on a proposal to get it to them that next morning. That's what you have to do. So doing what you say you're going to do is an attribute. And just getting out there and forming those relationships. Relationships are everything in business. You have to have relationships with suppliers. You have to have relationships with labor and workforce in the area. You have to have relationships with your competitors. Relationships are everything. So them are three that I can start with, but I can go on all day about what can help. But those are good three that I can give you right now.
Okay. And I appreciate that. So one other thing that, as you were talking about that, because I think people have to understand that if they want to be in business for themselves, I mean, you're going to be your own boss. So you've got to have those attributes like you talked about. Something else that I stress, and I think you can speak to this as well, and that is how important it is for you to really, for that business person to study their craft, you know, to really know the business, to really be good at what they do. Because I think what happens sometimes is a person wants to go into business because they see maybe the glory that comes with being a business owner. You know, you see the people who drive around in the fine cars and the big houses and everything, and you see those things and you want to have that, but you don't understand, you know, what it takes to be successful, those attributes like what you just talked about, but also how important it is for you to just really study your craft. If you're going to be in construction, you really need to study the construction business and understand it. So maybe could you speak to that as well?
Now, again, studying the craft is no different than doing what makes you happy. If you're in business, you should be doing what you love to do, because the times are going to be so hard, and it's going to be that love of your business that keeps you going. You know, I when I wake up in the morning, automatically, I'm doing what I love to do. Even if I'm going to do something hard and stressful, what I do in my business is what I love to do. My wife, she clowns me all the time and say, "Hey, you would do this if they didn't pay you to do it." And that's kind of how it has to be if you're in business. You have to love it. And then as far as, you know, kind of comparing yourself to someone else, I would just say, hey, you have to be able to stay in your own lane and understand that somebody else's walk might not be your walk. You know, everyone has their challenges, their issues that you don't see. You know, you might see a guy that's riding that big truck, but you might not know that he's underwater 5 months and he might be ready to get that truck repossessed. And he might look at you with your truck and you don't have any payments. He might wish he had your hand. So I would just say just being able to stay in your lane and kind of love what you do is a good thing to be able to do.
That's beautiful. And you have anything that's asked of I guess?
Absolutely. You know, Esther, we've known each other for quite a while, and we're brothers and sisters. You are actually young enough to be my son. And so, you know, we've had some of those conversations over the years, and I would tell you publicly, like I am very, very proud of you and all that you have done, are doing, and will do. And when you started your story about how you started and you didn't really want to do this in the beginning because you really didn't understand, and you went to college and you went to FAM, you came back, and when you said that, you reminded me of the reason and the purpose for this show. See, you are hashtag Riviera Beach, and your story is like so many of our stories, because we all have that same journey. And so the power of this show, and you're exemplifying that today, the power of the story is that we come back to give back. Because, see, you could have stayed where you were, or you could have came back and did what you do, but and not give back. And so this show is a part of giving back to the community by being an example of what's possible. And so I want to ask you if you know anybody who we could interview as a part of this show that's also in the industry, that's also from Riviera Beach, that's also giving back no matter where they are in the world, because there are a lot of people who don't live in Riviera Beach, but they still give back. So any thoughts about that in terms of individuals? Because we would like to definitely give them a shout-out. And then, and see, we might start calling part of our show a shout-out because the show is, you know, is virtual. And there are people, when we tag them, that we can, through social media, get them to participate in the show because we are tagging them. So, Ezra, any thoughts about any individuals that you might know that we can give a shout-out to, whether they're from Riviera, I mean, whether they live here or not, that might, you know, be from here and giving back?
I sure do, Ann. I have a few people, and for so I don't put them on blast right now, I want to call you back on off this station and give those names to you.
Okay. All right. Well, I say that because, again, we're talking about doing people who are doing good. So I'm moving forward, and that's something I think maybe we should start doing, Dan and Steve and Ezra, too, because really when you honor people and it's good news, we're not, you know, this is all about positive because we're not going to touch that other side of that coin. But, again, as we send the love and honor people and respect people by sharing the love, and we can talk about it offline, but I think that being on the show, you get the idea and of what we're looking to do by increasing the value of the city. We are the city, you know, and right now we're making investments of our time, talents, and our treasure to continue to uplift the city.
Well, I need to say this one. I guess it's still online, although he's not in line to go into, it's like the Hall of Fame, Riviera Hall of Fame. But there would be 10 people like Derek Hopper, Otis Anderson, there in the athletic field, one for football, one for basketball, and, of course, Steve White for education. And our director, the creator of this program, Ann McNeil, there will be scholarships given their name. And I think that why we do that, because we like to highlight our local people who are giving back. And Elsa, God knows you won, because I have a personal relationship with you. And it's just the idea that we had the Riviera Sports Hall of Fame years ago, and a lot of us in it, and most of them are dead, and it stopped. But we're going to add this as like part of our Hall of Fame, is honoring a scholarship. And I think that nothing is more important other than your health, that we send somebody off to a trade school, a two-year school, a four-year school, to get the basic fundamentals of whatever their trade is. We cannot allow the pandemic to stop that. Am I right, Steve?
Yes, sir.
Go and educate the minds, and because you're one always trying to give back. And I can't, it make me feel like the papa of all of y'all. And actually, Ezra is more like my grandson than a son. Now, Steve and Ann are like my daughter and my son because of my age and how long I've known them. But the main thing about that is we have to be a collective group and to do more for people. And to think that Ann and Steve was going to be honored with a scholarship named after them, we raised the funds. And Otis Anderson been doing this for the last 15, 16 years. We've given out sometime up to $90,000. There have been 2 years we gave out over $100,000. And that's because of Andrew DeGraffenreich passing. We're going to give out a scholarship in his name for anybody going off to school to be an attorney or political science or something like that. So my final word is I'm very pleased with the three of you, and I'm so pleased that, Elsa, you took time visiting your daughter in school and to come and get on this phone. And next week we'll have Deacon Alfred Fields. I don't know, most of you probably know Deacon Alfred Fields.
Yeah.
And we'll get him to do his story. And then, Ezra, those names, it's like that Ann say, we need to know that. We need to have them in here. I'm enjoying this. So that's my final word, Ann.
All right, thank you. We're going to go ahead and wrap up. Ezra, if you have any final words, and Steve, of course, if you have any final words, we'll wrap up the show. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, I thank you guys. Mr. Calloway, you are a staple. You are a mentor, man. I love you. And as well, you have said some really significant things in my journey that have helped me. And I would just say, guys, that if I can give some inspiration and some words to some young people, please give them my number, and I'll be more than happy to give them some of my time to just talk to them about life.
Well, I need to say this here, Steve, before you make the final thing. Ezra committed to have individuals who need to do their internship, that he would take them on. He wanted to do that. Am I right, Ezra?
You're absolutely right.
Okay. Steve?
Okay, well, before I get to Ezra, Mr. Saffold, I have to thank you. And just for, like you said, just being that person that just never wavers and just keeps making a difference. As you say, I was one of those boys that used to, I wasn't in playing sports like some of the others as much as some of the others did, but just one of those boys hanging around Tate and just being touched by your influence. And so I appreciate you, and even, you know, now you mentioned the scholarship and all of that. So I'm very grateful for that. But Ezra, yeah, brother, thank you for coming on.
Yeah.
And I know that to be successful in business is not an easy thing. So much respect to what you are doing. And, you know, you and I are working on some projects that have brought us together as well. And it seems like we're moving in the right direction there. So just excited about what the future holds, and much respect to what you have done and what you will continue to do.
And?
Yes, sir. Thank you. And so, Ezra, yes. Ezra, I'm also going to follow up with you and take you up on what you were saying about the guys y'all working with. I don't know if y'all have any women as a part of that, but I would definitely like to be a part of the boss. Is that boss only for the guys, or you have boss ladies too?
No. Them, and we know. Don't start nothing, man. We know that. True bosses are women. But no, it's business owners. It's not man, woman. But more so,
right.
Relatable from
perfect.
The area, homegrown, that
perfect.
We can say
perfect.
And I'll tell you guys, just real quick, I know we're getting off the air. What really sparked me one time was I was dropping my daughter off at Wells Gym a few years back. And one of the young counselors was out front as I was dropping my daughter off, and she saw, and the young man saw me get out of one of my work trucks, and I was, you know, tucked in with a all-site shirt, and I had on some slides and some nice hard bottoms, and he looked at me, and he said, "Hey, what do you do? Man, you look like you're important, you know, like you're a superintendent, a project manager for the company, man. How can I do what you do?" And just then, I saw that it's very important for young men to have a positive image to identify with. And I want to start giving more young men identifying positive images of being entrepreneur in my time here. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. That's beautiful.
Excellent. Well, I also want to tell the world that you are one of our members for the National Association for Black Women in Construction. So I'm glad to hear that women can be a part of BOSS. So I'll follow up with you on that. I'm sorry, boss. I already taken over already. All right, so everybody, thank you so very much for listening to the show. Our listening audience, please join us every single week on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time as we continue to bring you individuals from our hometown, Riviera Beach, Florida, and enjoying this podcast, hashtag I am Revere Beach. So please comment, like, and share the show. And everybody, we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Bless you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Dolores?